You know, for those in God's church, we look forward to the spring holy days as well. We look forward to Passover, and we look forward to the days of unleavened bread. We know that without the Passover, to start the holy days, that mankind would never be able to be reconciled with God our Father. But that comes through Jesus Christ's sacrifice. So the plan of God can be started during the spring holy days. You know, we're also familiar that normally before the spring holy days, we talk about examining ourselves, that we need to examine where we are spiritually. And sometimes we ask ourselves, how do we do that? We kind of struggle with the best way to do that. You know, the funny thing, not necessarily the funny thing, but the word examine also has the word exam in it, which can mean to test. I think all of us are familiar in school, you know, that we took tests or exams throughout the school year or the semester. If you were a good student, you probably look forward to taking tests. If you were not such a good student, maybe you didn't look forward to those tests and those exams. I know sometimes when I was in school, I was not the best student because of some different things, from inconsistent studying and study habits to some other factors as well. I didn't always look forward to taking a test. You know, we also would come to school some days and there'd be a pop quiz, a test that we weren't even prepared for, but maybe something that we were to have read the night before. We had bigger exams, maybe final exams. I remember an important test that I took in college one time. The grade that I made on that test was going to impact whether I passed that class or not. It was a large test over many chapters. And while I'd studied what I thought would be on the test, when the test was handed out and I started to answer the problems and calculate the different things on that test, I started to discover that I was in big trouble. Many of the problems on the test, I didn't know how to solve. Some of them weren't problems I had studied at all. I had a sinking feeling as I continued to struggle to work through that test. As I turned that test in that day, I remember thinking, I need a miracle to pass this test. I needed a miracle. But brethren, that miracle didn't happen. I failed that test. And I ended up failing the class as well. You know, it's interesting, in all the tests that I did well on, the one that I fail seems to be one that I remember more than, or one that stands out more than the rest of them that I took in college and in high school and grade school. You know, it's interesting, you know, the tests do not stop just because we are out of school. You know, tests that we have happen each day in our lives, whether we recognize it or not. You know, God's way of life has to be applied in how we live each day. Are we going to keep God's commandments? Are we going to apply the teaching in different situations that we encounter? Will it be a guide to our actions and our thoughts? You know, it's important that we don't let the cares of this world become more important than seeking God and His righteousness. And we also know the distractions of this world can come in many different forms, and they can be a test for us as well. You know, there can be tests because of our health. There can be tests because of our finances or maybe our relationships with others. You know, part of the Christian responsibility is to learn and to grow from the tests that we encounter throughout our lives. You know, there's a purpose in this physical life, and the purpose is to learn to become what God wants us to be, to take the opportunity to grow in His character and to become part of His family. You know, while a bad test at school can be a setback, often it motivates us to focus harder or to work harder or be more serious in what we're trying to do. But the tests that we have in this life are much more serious than the ones we took at school. You know, before the Passover, we need to examine and reflect what we're doing spiritually. Are we zealous spiritually in following Jesus Christ's example? You know, with every test that we have, we can always go back and review how we did. And such as it is with our lives as well. You know, we can acknowledge things that we do right, and we also can see areas where we need to improve. So for today's message, I want to look at spiritually examining ourselves. Spiritually examining ourselves. You know, it's important to do this. The Bible reminds us and instructs us that each of us need to do this, that we actually need to examine ourselves, that we need to examine ourselves based upon what the Bible teaches. So the title for this message today is Spiritually Examine Yourself. If you turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 11, read verses 36 through 32. You know, these scriptures are often read this time of year because it instructs us how important it is to be examining ourselves before we partake of the Passover. And Paul addressed not only the church in Corinth, but also us today. 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 26, it says, "For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. Therefore, whoever eats this bread and drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner is guilty of the blood of the body and the blood of the Lord." You know, the Greek word for unworthy can mean an irreverent manner. You know, none of us are worthy for all the gifts and the things that God gives us, but we need to have a proper reverence for them, a proper respect for what Jesus Christ came to this earth and did for all of us. Continuing on in verse 28, it says, "But let a man examine himself, so let him eat the bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body." You know, verse 28, Paul tells us to examine ourselves, to examine ourselves. And this is used in the context of the Passover, but it shouldn't just be before the Passover. It's always good to examine ourselves or take spiritual inventory of ourselves more than just once a year. You know, the Greek word used here is Strong's 1381, G-1381, dokomazo. This Greek word can mean to test, to try, to approve, to prove, or discern. To test or try, to approve, or to prove, or discern. You know, in the Bible, it tells us to test or examine things to make sure that they're real or authentic. You know, we need to carefully examine the character and what we're doing spiritually to make sure that it's real as well. And when it comes to examining ourselves, each of us, as I said earlier, need to do this more than just once a year. You know, when we are in school, it was important to study to show what we had learned and be able to take the test that came our way to prove that we had learned what we were supposed to. It's the same way in God's church. You know, Christians should be examining themselves to see that they apply what they've learned from the Bible and what God's opened their minds and hearts to understand. You know, when we're in different situations each day, whether we're driving, whether we go to school, whether we go to the grocery store, or in our relationships with others, we should be mindful of how we react to people, how we talk to people, and how we apply God's truth in our lives. You know, everyone in this physical life goes through different experiences. You know, some of those experiences we perceive as good, and some of them we perceive as being negative or being bad. You know, as I've gotten older, I try to tell myself that everything that I go through in my life, I can learn from. Everything that I go through in life, I can learn from. There's always something to learn from what we go through. And oftentimes, maybe God is trying to teach us something that we need to grow in our understanding and grow in his godly character. As I mentioned earlier, trials and tests and experiences can be positive or negative depending on how we view them. But it's important for us to be able to learn from those mistakes or learn from those situations that we do go through. And part of examining ourselves is to think about those things. Did I handle that situation correctly? Maybe you look at those times where you did and think, "I did a good job in answering that question someone asked." But other times you may come away thinking, I should have handled that situation better. I wish I hadn't said, or I wish I hadn't done what I did. You know, all of us need to take stock of the things that we do, and now is a good time of the year to be examining those things. In verse 31, continuing on, in verse 31 it says, for if you judge ourselves, we will not be judged. You know, the phrase here is, if we judge ourselves, that means if we are able to discern, examine, to prove or test ourselves, that we not be judged. And the ending of being judged means to be condemned, to be condemned. And we find more of that in verse 32 when it says, but when we are judged, we are chastened by the Lord that we may not be condemned with the world. Brethren, we know that God disciplines us or chastens us sometimes so that we will not end up being like the world, which is condemned, because the world will not change. The world doesn't want to change how they live in their lives. But we should be willing to examine what we do, what we say, our actions, and be willing to change where we see that we need to make those changes. As I said earlier, oftentimes we learn more when we fail than when we do what is right. And we can learn from both those lessons as we grow from those experiences. If you turn to Romans chapter 12, Romans chapter 12, read verses 1 and 2. You know, Paul tells us exactly what God's expecting from us in our lives, what he wants us to do and what he wants us to become. In Romans chapter 12, we'll start in verse 1 and read verses 1 and 2. It says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds, that you may prove what is that which is good, acceptable, and the perfect will of God. The word that you may prove is the same Greek word that we just saw in 1 Corinthians 11, examine, to examine. It says here that we can prove what's good and acceptable. When we prove what is good and acceptable, we should be doing those things. You know, restating verse 2, it says, you could say it this way, that you may prove, discern, or examine what is the good, acceptable will and perfect will of God. You know, God's will is for us not to be like the world, not to be embracing sin. We're told here not to conform to the ways of the world. God doesn't want us to be like this world in our actions and our thoughts. He wants us to be holy and acceptable. And we can do that with his Holy Spirit that helps us. Turn to Galatians chapter 6. Galatians chapter 6, read verses 3 and 4. You know, Paul's writing about helping out, helping one another, bearing up one another. In Galatians chapter 6, and starting in verse 3, he tells us this. If anyone thinks he's something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. But let each one examine his own work, and then he will have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. We're told here to examine our own work. And when we examine our own work, we can be rejoicing in it if we find ourselves doing what God has called us to be doing. You know, other translations said that we need to test our own actions. We need to test our own actions. It's also the same word that was used in 1 Corinthians 11. You know, something is proved by putting it to the test, by putting it into practice. You know, when we apply God's way of life, his commandments and teaching, we are learning to become more like him. We're learning to become more like him. You know, God wants us to submit our will to his will, just like we read in Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. The Passover and the spring holy days are a good reminder of those things. And that's why we need to examine ourselves before we partake of the Passover, before we commemorate the Passover. putting God's law into action will take time, and it takes effort on our part. We start off learning the basics of God's commandments and teaching, but part of examining is seeing where we're growing, to see that we are growing. If we see areas that we're not, we need to be applying and making changes in our lives. You know, each day gives us an opportunity to live God's way of life. It's an opportunity to get up and pray. It's an opportunity to read and study the Bible, which keeps us connected to our teacher. It's an opportunity to listen or watch sermons. We also have the opportunity to come to church. We have the opportunity for fellowshipping as well. Each day or on the Sabbath day, we have those opportunities. If you turn to 2 Timothy chapter 1, where we read verses 6 and 7. You know, God wants to help us. God wants to help us. And it's vital that we have his help in this process that we're talking about today, examining or testing ourselves to see where we stand. In 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 6, it says, "Therefore I remind you to stir up the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of hands. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and love and of a sound mind." You know, Paul reminds us of something that we need to examine, and that's that we're keeping God's Holy Spirit stirred up in our lives. Do we keep it stirred up to where we're thinking about God's way of life each day and how we live? Are we stirred up about understanding God's truth and applying it? I hope that we are. Part of that examination is looking to see if we do keep God's Spirit stirred up within us. You know, sometimes when we review or examine ourselves, it can be frustrating when we feel like we've fallen short. We may not be living up to what we know we should be doing. You know, Romans chapter 8, verse 7, you don't need to turn there, tells us that the carnal mind is hostile towards God. And we understand that. We understand that the carnal mind doesn't want to do the things that God wants us to do. And Paul wrote about his frustration about doing things and knowing what to do and not being able to do them. But brethren, we all struggle and we all go through that. If we want to be a disciple of Christ, we need to stop. Take the time to stop and examine ourselves and continue to work to rid ourselves of our carnal attitudes, our carnal thoughts, and our carnal actions that we sometimes have. You know, God has given us the tool to do these things, continue to chip away, continue to grow in his grace and his truth. You know, as I said, you know, sometimes we may find ourselves in a spiritual rut. But brethren, it's not a time to give up. It's a time to draw closer to God. It's a time to be asking God for his help. We do all those things when we examine, when we stop and look, examine ourselves. We can see and be encouraged by the progress we've made, and we can also see that we still have more work to do. You know, becoming what God wants us to be is a lifelong process. And like I said, we all have our shortcomings, we all have our faults, but they shouldn't derail us spiritually. We should not be so discouraged that we want to give up, but rather be encouraged that we have God's help to overcome. So the remainder of this sermon, I want to look at some specific areas that we can examine. I want to leave you with some specific areas. First area I want to look at is we need to examine our relationship with God. We need to examine our relationship with God. We can ask ourselves, are we spending time with God? Do we have the time to pray each day? Are prayers effective, or are we distracted when we're praying? Do we take the time to read the Bible, to study? None of these things are new to us. But they do take time. They take time and commitment for us to do them. You know, if we find ourselves not thinking about God's way of life the other 6 days of the week, it's a good question to ask ourselves, why not? Why not? If you turn to 2 Timothy In 2 Timothy chapter 3, we'll read verses 14 through 17. Earlier in chapter 3, Timothy is describing what a difficult and ungodly time it will be in the last days. 2 Timothy chapter 3, starting in verse 14, it says, "But you must continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them, and that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith, which is Christ Jesus. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instructions in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work." You know, Paul was writing Timothy that he'd been instructed since childhood. I mean, maybe we haven't been instructed from childhood, but many of us here have been instructed for many years. God's given us the opportunity to learn from his holy scriptures. We're told the scripture is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, and most importantly, probably instructions in righteousness. Brethren, we need to take the opportunity to read and study the Bible so that we can learn those things in our lives. You know, this physical life, as I said earlier, is a training ground. It's a training for God to train us in his righteousness. You know, there's nothing more important that we can do in this world than be training for God's righteousness in our lives. And it's not our righteousness, it's God's righteousness that we can have through his Holy Spirit and through putting to practice the things that we read, the things that we understand. You know, it's easy sometimes to let the distractions of this world crowd out our relationship with God. And one of the hardest things to do in life is time management. It's time management. Are we managing our time like we should? Do we set the right priorities for our time? You know, this world we live in is under Satan's influence. It's full of things that distract us, things that look more attractive maybe than spending time reading and studying the Bible. Brethren, we can't let this world distract us from the calling that God's given to us. We can't let that happen. We need to draw close to God and not conform to the world, as we read in Romans chapter 12, but to be growing in our relationship with God. If you turn to John chapter 15, we'll read verses 4 and 5. You know, Jesus Christ reminds us that he is the true vine. He is the true vine. And we need to be connected to him. In John chapter 15, starting verse 4, it says, "Remain in me, and I will remain in you. Just as a branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it remains in the vine, so neither can you unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. The one who remains in me and I in him bears much fruit, because apart from me you can accomplish nothing." Brethren, apart from God, apart from Jesus Christ, we can accomplish nothing. We need to be connected to them in our relationship with them. We need to keep God's Holy Spirit stirred up. You know, it's interesting, we've been going through the Sermon on the Mount Bible studies. We looked at being a light of God's way of life to those in the world. When we're a light to this world, it's God's way of life that's reflected in us. And brethren, we know the world continues to grow darker. We should be a light and example of God's way of life to others. And we can only do that when we have a strong relationship with God, when we're taking the time to pray, we're taking the time to talk to him, we're taking the time to think and meditate about his way of life. You know, prayer helps us to build that relationship. It's our time to talk with God. We need to make sure that we take that time. We know that tests will come our way, and we know in this world that's getting more corrupt and more evil, we need to be close to God. We need to have a close relationship with him to help us through the difficult times that will be coming. We need to grow that relationship and be serving Him as He's called us to do. Another area that you can look at is we need to examine our relationships with others. Examine our relationships with others. Just turn back a few pages to John chapter 13, where we're verses 34 and 35. This is the night of the Passover when Jesus Christ gave His disciples what He called a new commandment. And this new commandment, He said, would be an identifying mark of His disciples. John chapter 13, starting verse 34, it says, "A new commandment I give you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. And by this we'll all know that you are My disciples, if you have love for one another." I think we all know that godly love is the foundation for relationships with others. You know, Jesus Christ said that He can identify, or His disciples would be identified, by whether they had love for one another. It's not always easy to do. It's not always easy to put into practice. It takes wisdom. It takes God's help to truly show godly love for one another. Brethren, we can examine whether we're showing godly love in our families, whether in our physical families or in our spiritual family at church. Are those relationships what they should be? Are they strong? Or sometimes are those relationships broken? Brother, now's the time to correct them. Now's the time to correct them. If you turn to Philippians chapter 2, read verses 1 through 5. Here in chapter 2, Paul is writing about a key to having a good relationship, and that is humility. Humility. And Paul also talks about Jesus Christ physically coming to this earth as a servant as well. And starting in verse 1 of Philippians chapter 2, it says, "Therefore, if there is any encouragement in Christ, any comfort provided by love, any fellowship in the Spirit, or any affection or mercy, complete my joy and be of the same mind, by having the same love, being united in spirit, and having one purpose. Instead of being motivated by selfish ambition or vanity, each of you should, in humility, be moved to treat one another as more important than yourself. Each of you should be more concerned not only about your own interest, but about the interest of others as well. You should have the same attitude towards one another that Jesus Christ had." You know, selfishness harms and divides. When we have humility, and when we apply humility to our relationships with others, our relationships will be stronger. They'll be stronger because we'll be concerned not only about ourselves, but we'll be concerned for others. And we know that love, godly love, is an outgoing concern for others. You know, as a church, we need to be growing in unity. We need to be growing in unity with our physical families as well. And that becomes, you know, that happens from showing godly love to one another. We need to examine our relationships and make sure that they are growing stronger. Make sure that they are strong. You know, another place where we can examine is whether we're walking in the faith. Whether we're walking in the faith. We turn to Hebrews, chapter 11, reading verses 6 and 8, as we examine whether we're walking in the faith or not. Hebrews chapter 11, starting in verse 6. It says, "But without faith it's impossible to please Him, for he who comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. But by faith Noah, who divinely warned of those things not seen, moved with godly fear, prepared the ark for saving his household, by which he condemned the world and became heir of righteousness according to his faith." In verse 8 it says, by faith Abraham obeyed when he was called to go to a place which he would receive an inheritance. He went out not knowing where he was going. And we have these two examples of Noah and Abraham who practiced and walked in faith. They obeyed what God had told them to do. If you turn back to Genesis, we'll read a little bit about Noah and his relationship with God. In Genesis chapter 6, read verses 8 and 9. Genesis chapter 6, starting in verse 8, it says, but Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. This is the genealogy of Noah. Noah was a just man, perfect in his generations. Noah walked with God. The New English Translation says, Noah was a godly man. He was blameless among his contemporaries. Noah stood out in the earth at that time because he was righteous, because he wanted to live God's way of life. Brethren, we need to be like Noah as well. We need to be standing out among those in the world because of obeying God in what we do. You know, Noah faithfully obeyed God and built the ark, and he preserved life on the earth. You know, Jesus Christ tells us in Matthew 24:22, speaking about the end time, unless those days are shortened, no flesh would be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days will be shortened. Brethren, those days will be shortened because of God's people. And just like God chose Noah to preserve mankind on the earth, told him to build an ark, the days at the end time will be cut short because of those who are part of God's church, those who are elect. You turn just a few chapters ahead to Genesis chapter 12. We'll read the beginning story of Abram or of Abraham. Because he's also mentioned as one who was faithful. In fact, the father of the faithful he is referred to. Genesis chapter 12, starting in verse 1, it says, now the Lord said to Abram, get out of your country, from your family and from your father's house, to a land I will show you. And I will make a great nation, I will bless you, and I will make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. And I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse those who curse you. And in all the families of the earth you shall be blessed. So Abraham departed as the Lord had spoken to him, and Lot went with him. And Abram was 75 years old when he departed Haran. You know, there's no record of Abraham asking God, where are you leading me? We don't see that record here. It just says that he departed. He departed. You know, it takes real faith to do that. You know, Noah and Abraham, we know they made mistakes in their lives, but they also continue to walk in faith. They continue to walk in faith. And that's an example for us as well. And we may not know all the details of different things that happen in our lives now or may happen in the future, but God promises that he will see us through because we can have faith in him. We can have faith in those promises and faith that he will help us. But we need to be faithful to him. We need to be faithful that we're serving him and that our lives are becoming more like what God wants us to be, that we're submitting our will to his. We need to examine ourselves, make sure that we're faithfully serving God. Another place we can examine ourselves is examine our patience that we have in our lives. Examine our patience. You know, this physical life, it takes patience. It takes patience with one another and sometimes even patience with God. You know, sometimes our patience may be tested with God. You know, if you're thinking about patience in the Bible, there's one man that always comes up or that I think about. You know, Job was probably tested more severely than anyone could even imagine. And I'm not talking about someone who was sinning, but someone who God called blameless. And I'll just read that verse out of Job chapter 1, verse 8. It says, So the Lord said to Satan, "Have you considered my servant Job? There is none like him on the earth. He is blameless and upright, one who fears God and turns away from evil." Now that's a pretty strong statement for God to make about Job to Satan. I made a list of all the things that happened to Job. He lost all his possessions. He lost his sons and his daughters. He endured a horrible disease. His wife told him to curse God and die. His friends accused him of being a sinner and urged him to repent, even though they had no proof. Job lost his power, his position of power and respect. He lost being a man of wisdom and high regard. So one could ask, why was he tested so severely when he was called blameless and upright? You know, God disciplines all of us that are going to be a part of his family. God wants us to be perfected. He wants us to grow. And he decides what each of us needs to have. Maybe discipline, maybe too strong of a word, but God decides what's going to happen to us throughout our lives. You know, Job learned a very powerful lesson. He came to see God's greatness and his own significance in comparison to God. He came to realize that God is sovereign in all he does. And even though we may not understand what God is doing in our lives, God either allows it and wants us to learn from it as well. If you turn to James chapter 1, read verses 2 and 4, he explains a little bit about the patience that we need and the things that we can learn from it. As I said, we go through this life. Things are not always easy. Things don't always work out the way that we want them to. We have to go through difficult times as well. In James chapter 1, and I'll start in verse 2, it says, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let the patience have a perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing." You know, God's perfecting us. God's completing us. We need to be able to have the patience. The word for patience here can also mean endurance. We be able to do that so God can help complete us. You know, God allowed Job to go through that trial so that he could become more perfect and complete. You know, difficult trials will test our patience, but there's lessons that we can learn from them. And often those lessons are much more than just enduring. You know, when I was in school, I used to study for tests, just trying to find the questions and answers for things I could simply write down the answer for. So instead of trying to learn about the subject, at least I could have the answer and be able to write it down on a test. You know, I sometimes wonder that I do the same thing in the trials and the tests that I go through in my life as well. You know, much like wanting to find the answer so that we can write it down and move on with our lives. You know, there's nothing wrong with asking God what we can learn when we're going through difficult times. In fact, it's something that we should be doing. But God's expecting us to learn much more in this physical life or the things we go through than just a simple answer. As I said, I remember times in my life going through different things, asking for God's help, but not stopping to think about the things that I could learn from it. You know, sometimes we talk about the things we go through. We wish that God could send us an email or a text so that we could figure out what he's trying to help us learn. But God doesn't work that way. You know, God's not looking for a simple answer or to teach us a simple answer. God's looking to grow his character within us. He's wanting us to grow and become like him in Jesus Christ. That's much more than just a simple answer that we can write down or give back to God. God wants us to change, our whole lives. And to do that will take patience. It will take patience. It will take endurance. We need to make sure that we show patience in our relationship with God as well as with each other. If you're continuing on down in chapter 5 of James, you know, when we go through stressful times in this life, it's much like gold being refined by melting and removing the impurities. We're much more valuable after we go through the different things that we go through in this life. And continuing on in James chapter 5, verse 11, it says, "Indeed, we count them blessed who endured. You've heard of the perseverance of Job, and you've seen intended by the Lord that the Lord is very compassionate and merciful." We know that God is compassionate. We know he is merciful, but God also wants us to grow in the spirit of long-suffering. You know, it's difficult when we're under stress in our lives to remember that God is always with us. He's always with us. He won't forsake us. And we can count on his promises. If you turn to Romans chapter 5, Romans chapter 5, I'll read verses 1 through 5 through the New English Translation. You know, Paul's writing about the opportunities that we have been given through Jesus Christ and God's grace and mercy. And brethren, what an opportunity it is that we've been given. In Romans chapter 5, starting in verse 1, it says, "Therefore, since we have been declared righteous by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we obtain access by faith into his grace, which we stand and rejoice in the hope of God's glory. Not only this, but we may also rejoice in suffering, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance character, and character hope. And hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts through his Holy Spirit, which was given to us." Brethren, when we submit and follow God's way of life, when we seek him and his righteousness, we can walk in faith and we can have peace in our lives. We can have peace. You know, God's guiding us to be growing in his godly character. He wants us to be a part of his family, but he knows the things that we need to be a part of that family. You know, as I conclude today's message, hopefully it's given you some ideas on places where you can examine. You know, I spoke in the introduction about a test that I'd failed and how I'd learned from that experience. I was still able to complete and get a degree in college. I was still able to learn from that experience. Brethren, we can learn from the experiences that we go through spiritually as well, whether they're positive or whether they're times that are very difficult and hard. You know, areas that we need to improve, it's up to us to examine and make those changes with God's help. So let's examine ourselves before this year's Passover and Spring Holy Days. Let's examine ourselves to see where we are spiritually. If you turn to 1 Peter, read verses 6 and 7 from 1 Peter 1. You know, we need to be examining our relationships with God and with each other, our spiritual families. We need to be walking by faith, not by sight. We need to be growing in patience and endurance, because God is building his holy character within us. In 1 Peter chapter 1, and I'll start in verse 3, not verse 6. 1 Peter 1, starting in verse 3, it says, Blessed be the Lord and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to the living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, that does not fade away. It's reserved in heaven for you, who have kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed at the last time. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you're grieved with various trials, that the genuineness of your faith, being more precious than gold that perishes, though tested by fire, may be found praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ. You know, God's given us a wonderful understanding of his truth, his plan. It's not only for us, it's for all mankind. But God will test and prove everyone that's going to be in his kingdom. So, brethren, let's be examining ourselves spiritually. Make sure that we're prepared for this year's Passover and the tests that will come in our lives.